A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Opening day weekend is here. Baseball's back at American Family Field. It feels really good, doesn't it? The NCAA tournament rolls along. Your brackets are probably busted. For what it's worth, as of last Saturday, I know it's like last weekend, but I was tied for fourth place in the Good Karma Brands pool. All right, now I'm like at 22nd. But still, out of like 232 people, that's not too bad. No matter where you are in your pool, it's a great time to be a sports fan. And we talk a lot about sports and community building on the upswing. And the community shows up at the ballpark, for sure. But it's really the bars and the restaurants around the area that are the economic engines for the neighborhood, for the ballpark, and for our entire city. One of those spots that's truly been this leading indicator, if you will, is Saz's State House, right on 55th and State. You know it. It's iconic. This weekend, they're throwing Festa Sazama, a four-day celebration that celebrates 50 years of Saz's, 50 years of stories, 50 years of like ribs and mozzarella marinara, 50 years of love sweat, maybe a couple tears. Truly a Milwaukee original. The man that started it all is going to join us in studio, Steve Saz Sazama, the founder of Saz's State House and Saz's Hospitality Group, is here to look not back only on maybe some of the opening days in the last 50 years, but he's going to share stories. He's going to wax poetic a little bit about his Milwaukee legendary status in bars and restaurants. We'll talk about some of the places that aren't around anymore, what he's learned, and so much more, all as we begin another season of Brewers baseball right here on the upswing. But as we do each and every morning, we're going to go two up.
Up one, two.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business and community world. I got one national, well, international, and one hyperlocal for you. First up, AI and ads. This is really interesting. OpenAI is getting into the ad business. We all knew this was coming, whatever platform you're using in your business. The AI giant, OpenAI, just hired a guy named Dave Dugan. You're like, who's Dave Dugan? Well, Dave is a top advertising executive at Meta, who helped Facebook and Instagram build into one of the most powerful ad machines in the globe. Now, he's going to take this global advertising push and move it into ChatGPT. ChatGPT has 900 million weekly users. And OpenAI has already burned through $8 billion in cash last year. The ads that are coming to the platform is one way that they're going to pay for all this, right? ChatGPT is a product developed and run by OpenAI. I always like to clarify this because some people don't understand OpenAI, ChatGPT, AI research and deployment company, heavily funded and partnered by Microsoft, which has a large minority stake in OpenAI. Here's the tension, though. I'm going to go a little deep in this two-up segment. The CEO, Sam Altman, once called advertising a last resort for the business model. Now it's kind of looking like it's the next frontier. So what is it? I think the companies have to figure out what AI-native advertising is going to look and feel like. It's not an old banner advertising model. We know that for sure. But it's something that's going to reshape the industry. It's interactive. It's based upon what we are inputting. The question is, to that point, are users going to trust it? That's the opportunity and the risk. And no matter what, we got to all look for updates and see how ad integration is coming to our favorite AI platform. Next up, I said I'm going global. I'm going hyperlocal. Outpost. Outpost is on a roll for sure, and it's getting even bigger. Milwaukee's oldest grocery co-op has hit its sales and membership goals 4 years in a row. Now it's investing $3.5 million in a 9,000 square foot commercial kitchen that's set to open later this year, right near its corporate office on 3rd Street on Milwaukee's south side. The CEO, Ray Simpkins, says if this momentum continues, we may see a fifth Milwaukee area store on the horizon. That's really an expansion story, and it's really significant, too. Community-owned business that's been around since 1971. Outpost, take a guess. Of its four stores, how many owners? 23,400 owners. Membership at Outpost costs $200. You can pay for it all up front, or you can pay for it in $10 monthly increments until it's all paid off. That $200 gets you basically a share of the company. It gets you deals, it gets you discounts, it gets you a vote in how the business is run. One member, one vote. Anyone can shop there, but owners literally are invested in the success. A little bit more information on the co-op model. There are 680 co-ops registered in the state of Wisconsin. So a whole lot more, I think, than most people realize. Milwaukee co-ops include Apple Tree Credit Union, Northwestern Mutual. Northwestern Mutual has a credit union inside of it. And the one that you're like, oh, what about the bar and club space? Well, New Barons Brewing Company is a co-op. So there you go. Watch for Outpost possibly to expand. But first, a brand new 9,000 square foot commercial kitchen coming to its Southside location. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, born and raised in Milwaukee. Steve Sazama, Saz, has a genuine allegiance to the community. He's a graduate of Christ King Grade School, not too far from where I grew up, Marquette High School. I didn't go to Marquette High, Steve. I went to Tosa East, but I did get into Marquette High, so I got a lot of friends there. You know, everything flows through Marquette High in some way, shape, or form. And a marketing major at Marquette University. It's no surprise that his experience, his stomping grounds, everything has stayed close to home as he's built his business over the last 50 years. Saz's turns 50 this weekend, and Steve Sazama joins us in studio. Steve, thanks for taking time out of your day.
Hey, Jeff, great to see you, and looking forward to a great weekend.
Oh, yes, it's going to be great for sure. So take us back. Let's go back to March 1st, 1976, if you can remember that date. What do you remember about day one at 55th and State, like the sights and the smells and the sounds of day one of your restaurant?
Well, first of all, I was even lucky to get there because I was working at Major Goolsby's, and Pep Palmer, a good friend of mine, had a bar up the street called Pep's Place, which is now Colonel Hart's. And he guaranteed the loan at the bank of $10,000 at 4% interest, and he said, you have to have this place. So 2 months later, we ended up opening up March 1st, and the original place was very small. In fact, when we got there, they hadn't moved out the pool table in back yet. A guy had an organ in the bar room. Okay. I mean, there was hardly any room in there, and the payphone was still there. He had taken out shortly because the old bartender was a bookie there. So,
right.
So we had that one taken out, but no, it was it was just so heartwarming, and we had so many people from Major Goolsby's because I'd been there for 3 years.
Right, so you had a built-in community a little bit when you started,
right? And Pep Palmer had been in the business for 7-8 years then, and so it was just a great base to start with.
So you've said early on that, you know, it was hard for you. You couldn't rub two nickels together early on when you started. What was that scariest first bill like? Oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make ends meet in the early days.
Well, we were very lucky in the beginning because we had great cash flow. And the lease that we had written is that all of our rent payments went towards the purchase of the building.
So we were able to, in a year and a half,
to take all that money and put a down payment on it. So I think the whole investment turned out to be like $88,000, you know.
What was the State House before you leased it?
Well, years ago, it was a boarding house.
Okay.
And then supposedly, allegedly, it was the House of Ill Repute, but I don't know that for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
But they, Wally Mildred Erdman ran it for years. Unfortunately, though, they never owned the building. And they had great food, just simple, good neighborhood food. Yeah. And when they retired, a couple gentlemen from Wauwatosa took it over, and they had it for about a year and a half, and it just didn't work out. And they had known me because they were some of my very best customers down at Gouldsby's.
We're talking with Steve Sazama from Saz's Hospitality Group, turning 50 this weekend, and we'll talk about what's happening this weekend a little bit later in the show, Steve. But keeping at the early portions of the business, when did you kind of first think, like, all right, this is going to work? We're going to make it.
Well, we're very fortunate, and lucky enough that Pep Palmer was also an accountant, so he did the books.
And I
was very good at bringing the money in, but I'm not sure how good I was at getting into the bank or whatever. Yeah. But it was really very important because he taught me how to run it as a business, where a lot of bar owners in my age in the 70s, they walked around with a lot of money.
Right.
But when they went to the bank, well, they had troubles.
We
learned to run it as a business, but yet it was very loosely run, and we just had a great time. And, at that time, there was nothing around the stadium. There was just Derry's Pub and Ray Jackson's, which was a supper club. Hmm. But all those other bars, none of them were really, you're talking in 76, they weren't around.
Yeah, yeah. So you filled a pretty good niche back in the day.
Yeah.
So you built your entire business around kind of the finest, right? How do you personally today define hospitality?
Well, the most important thing, the way I look at it, is you have to have great relationships with your customers, with your purveyors, and with your employees. And all three are very important. And once you can get that consistency, it's amazing how your business can grow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably a leadership lesson you took from Major Gouldsby's or Maury's that, probably would work for any operator today, right?
Right. And Jerry Cohen was very – at Major Gouldsby's, when we opened up, though, it was only half the size it is now. Hmm. So it used to be Al McGuire. It was he had it. It was called Al McGuire's Time Out Restaurant. And Al lasted about 2 years there. Al had more partners than he knew about.
Former Marquette coach Al McGuire, of course, investor in the early days at Major Gouldsby's before it became Major Gouldsby's.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're talking with Steve Sazama from Saz's State House, Saz's Hospitality Groups. Saz, when we come back, we're going to talk about the iconic food, kind of the festival lore, and a whole lot more. I'm going to ask you about the origins of the combo platter. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's opening day weekend for your Milwaukee Brewers. In studio is Steve Sazama from Saz's Hospitality Group. Steve, all right, everyone listening is familiar with your menu, and I want to ask you, if you had to take one item off your legendary menu, the ribs, mozzarella marinara, sour cream and chive fries, which one just could you not replace or say, don't even ask me that question,
I'm trying to keep
Jeff.
My customers happy, Jeff. And whichever one it was, it would be the wrong one.
All right. That's good. I like that answer. So tell me the origin story of kind of the combo platter that we all carry around on the Summerfest grounds.
Well, we were lucky enough to get in the Summerfest between Miller Brewing and the food and beverage coordinator, Tracy Sproul. Her uncle was one of my customers. Hmm. So between the Miller people that came in from the fair and festivals and Tracy, we were able to get into Summerfest. And we had a really, really small stand. We only had four windows, but very, very small, maybe enough for like three fryers. But came up with this, and if I if we could ever have mozzarella marinara and eat it with your hands, we'd have a winner. And in an Italian restaurant, it's pan-fried cheese with a marinara sauce on it.
Right.
So my chef goes out drinking with a Chinese chef. Hard to believe chefs were drinking in those days.
That's collaboration right there. I love it.
And, of course, it was simple. He came up with cheese egg roll.
Nice.
And that's how, goofy as it sounds, it started. Well, we wanted to put something together that we could have like three items on our menu, and if we could put them all at one, it would be great. So years ago, there was a chain of restaurants and hotels called Howard Johnson's.
Okay.
And their restaurants, they were known for the clam strips. Well, I figured I want to have something that people knew they'd like, and the clam strips was what they would like.
Yeah.
The mozz, well, I knew it was good, but I didn't know they like.
That's good.
So then we also added a chicken drummy and to it, and that was the original combo plate. Well, then things started to change a little bit, and one of the biggest thing was we went to a cottage fry, and I had a high school student, and we put all the raw potatoes that are sliced into a big 55-gallon drum, and then you put an antioxidant in it and drain it over a drain. Well, Bruce Crest, the health department, was in there, and the luckiest thing that ever happened to me is that the 16-year-old kid missed the drain, and I had water all over the place, all over the whole stand. So it was a perfect lead-in for Bruce Crest, Saint Saz. He says, you know, I've got a product that you might be interested in.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. So for 1 year, we did both potatoes.
Okay.
And then...
And then the legend was made.
And then and then we wanted to get rid of the chicken, and that's when we went to a white cheddar curd. And when we went to a white cheddar curd, there weren't any on the market then. But the original ones, and that's our key to our mozzarella, and it still is today, they're hand-rolled.
Okay.
So it's very labor-intensive.
Yeah. Well, and another key to your business, and we were talking before the show, you had so many former employees, especially at the Summerfest grounds, that have gone on to create their own businesses, open their own places. What does that say to you after all these years that you've been able to create that type of culture at Saz's?
Well, I'll tell you what, we just have such a good family there. And, you know, I mean, obviously the most famous one we have is we have Vicky Bilda, who has built a place near Holy Hill.
Okay.
Her and her husband, Bob, they've done tremendous, of course. But then there was, of course, Chris Leffler. And Chris, you know, it's hard to believe he's been in business 29 years.
Yeah. And I don't think Chris and I have been out of high school 29 years.
Without a doubt. In fact, I missed a tip of my finger, which I got blown off at the fair. And Chris put it in ice and took it to the hospital for me.
Wow, all right. Well, that is a sign of a great
employee. So I go way back. Yes, so that's sure. Not many employees will do that for you.
Yes. All right. I want to get to a few more personal asides and reflections. What was that one time, Steve, when you kind of walked away from the business and you said, all right, I'm just not sure I want to keep going. What keeps you in the bar and restaurant game each and every day? Because it's not an easy business.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, the biggest thing is that we kept expanding. And, you know, people liked our pulled pork or our ribs, so they'd pick them up and take it to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then after a while, that wasn't good enough. They wanted us to start serving them. So that got us into the barbecue sauce business. And then the catering in 1990 is when we started our catering thing. So then catering kept growing and getting into different venues, and between getting the grocery stores with our ribs, and at the time we had our cheese curds and our mozz sticks in. And so there was always something happening. And then the festivals at Summerfest and State Fair. I mean, we're the official caterer at Summerfest and at State Fair. So, I mean, all the interesting stories the guys have with, you know, we do all the backstage catering and, you know, some of the goofy demands that they get.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, it just, the way my good employees became key employees, and now they've become partners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a great ride.
You've always had such a great community feel. And when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about, you know, truly the best bar conversations and who they were with. You've had a lot of notables, I'm sure, through your 50 years. Stop at the bar at Saz's. Give us some insight on some of the regulars. And then I know for sure, Steve, that you have this incredible mental map of Milwaukee bars and restaurants. Many probably don't even exist anymore. So we're going to go through some of your favorite bars, some of the favorite ones that aren't around anymore, and then what are your favorite spots in the area and why. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by Steve Sazama, Saz, Saz's Statehouse, 55th and State, Saz's Hospitality Group, celebrating 50 years of business this weekend. Steve, you probably had a lot of regulars at your bar and restaurant through the years. Give us some of the best conversations you've had at the bar.
Well, you know, I hadn't had a bar since after I got married in 1991. But before that, and right after that, we used to have just great times with Wayne Embry of the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. He was such a great guy, such a general, really warm person.
Yeah.
And of course, then he dragged along Don Nelson, which was a lot different.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
And Nelly was just quite a character.
You have a Don Nelson fish tie in your closet somewhere?
Well, you know, it's funny. The deal was made in a booth at Saz's.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's deep insight right there. I like it.
Yeah, he was quite the character. And, of course, Don was just a blast out at State Fair. Saz's has sponsored the Racing Pigs. Now it's for like 28 years.
Yeah.
But so we'd bet on the Racing Pigs. Well, I knew which pig was going to win, so I'd take his money. Well, but then we'd play skee ball. And, of course, being an Iowa farmer, he cleaned me. And I ended up negative for today. But it was okay.
All right. That's good. Yes. Some legendary Bucks and sports people always hanging out at Saz's. So,
one other thing, too, because the classiest of all time, I mean, George Thompson was just great. And he's on his own. But the other one is Robin Yount.
Yeah.
Robin is the person that you all think he is, he is. Whenever he comes in town, he always stops in. And it's funny, some little 10-year-old will come up to him. And, of course, the dad sent him over there, you know, but figured it. So he said, why don't you give this and make sure your dad, next time, you know, have him come and get it himself.
Have him say hi directly.
But he was just such a good, good guy. And I mean, I just saw him a couple weeks ago. But anyway, he's the real deal, and just people like that. And you got the Vukoviches that would come in, and of course, who was more friendly than Pete Vukovic?
Yes. A great list for sure. So you've had not only a ton of celebrities in your place, but you probably have this mental map of Milwaukee bars and restaurants, some of which don't exist anymore. You've given some lists before, best bars, dead or alive. What if we had to narrow it down to five closed spots in greater Milwaukee that maybe every operator right now should study, not just search for, but what would they be and why?
Well, Maury's on Prospect, that was the top singles bar there was.
Okay.
And Maury never did any inventory or anything. I mean, you know, the only thing they complain about the next day is, well, you guys had a busy night. I say, yeah, Maury, we did. Yeah, you went through 8 bottles of vodka. Like he was complaining about we went through much vodka when we had a record night. You know,
so Maury's on State. What else?
And then we had, of course, Pep's place in Wauwatosa, and of course he's the gentleman that loaned me the money.
Yeah,
just a great place. And then of course, who can ever forget about Bingo's?
Where's Bingo's?
He's right across from. He's on Valete about. 48th and Valete.
Okay, all right.
And Bingo was quite the bar owner, and he'd worked at a couple other places, but he was the consummate bar owner.
Okay.
And of course, who would ever forget about Victims? I mean, Victors.
Victors, you know. Yes, indeed, yes.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but Those were the main ones.
Those are the iconic
Dairy's
ones.
Pop, right. Dairy's on Blue Mun was,
yeah, Dairy's was just a good spot,
was
for
a great place.
So what are five of your current favorites right now?
Well, you know, I just turned 80, so I don't get to a lot
okay.
of them. And well, I have to say, when I do go out, I enjoy having a drink over at O'Donohue's
okay.
in Elm Grove. They're just a very friendly place. I also enjoy having a drink over at Balestrieri's over on Blue Mound. And they always have great bartenders there, and of course, the food's good,
yep.
but the bar is nice and a lot of good conversation.
Yeah. Those are good choices, for sure. All right. Well, this weekend, it's Saturday. We're in opening day weekend. You have Festa Sazama on 55th and State. You kicked it off on opening day. And you had the world's largest fish fry on Friday. What's on tap today, Saturday, and tomorrow, Sunday?
Well, we've got live music with Bootjack Road and Matty Joe. And they're playing at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then at 6:30, we have 33 RPM. And I don't know if you've ever seen them, but boy, they've got one singer on there. She can really
all
sing.
Right, all right.
All right. Playing all the good vinyls.
All right. Very
which
good.
Which guys probably
old school,
our age
I love
might
it.
Kind of like. But we're having a big barbecue. So you can get a bucket of ribs, 3 pounds of ribs, and some French fries. And we also have Saz's pork sliders. Those are $3. I think the ribs are $15. And then we have quarter racks for like $3 or $4 or specials
okay.
On that. And that's on Saturday.
All right.
Also, we have charitable partners. And on Saturday is Wisconsin State Fair Foundation and the Boys and Girls Club.
All right. Doing good and helping the community all at Festa Sazama this Saturday. And tomorrow, celebrating 50 years. So, Steve, if you look, let's go 5 years from now. What's kind of that one sentence that you hope everyone will use to describe what you've built?
Well, Jeff, you got me, and I'm just so proud, but I'm also proud about having to have the relationships and how my staff has just grown, and they've grown the business more than I ever could have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very fortunate. And of course, the old adage is, they always say how lucky you are. It seems like the harder you work, the luckier you get. Well, I think that there's a lot to be said about that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on 50 years. Congratulations on 80 years. You're going strong. You're looking good. The future is only bright. Finally, no, I asked you to kind of give us that one sentence, but I always like to ask our guests to define success, Steve.
Well, to me, I mean, obviously when I started at 30 years old, I had no idea what I was getting into. And now I just sit back and I look at what we've built and all the enjoyment we have. And like in the summer, we employ so many kids. We've got so many people. I got a couple letters here. A guy that met a girl and bought her a Bloody Mary, and 3 months later they were engaged. Another one, stories like that. We've got crew. My niece and nephew, my nephew was pulling pork. In the old days, we had pork butts, and he had to pull the meat out. And they pulled pork together. So, and rolled mozzarella together. And it just makes me feel good to think about how we have grown from those days.
Yes.
And it's still down to earth. When you walk around the round bar and you see every age at Saz's.
Yeah.
It's not just.
Yeah. A testament to what you've built. Truly the finest, Steve. Congratulations. And we look forward to the next 50 years.
Okay. Well, my son will be 93. So
okay, perfect. It's perfect. Bring it on. Bring
yeah.
it on. All right. Go Brewers.
Oh.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A big thank you to Steve Sazama, Saz. Oh, 50 years of stories. Love it. Olive Garden and EVs. Jaslyn, when was the last time you were at an Olive Garden?
During COVID, where we had to pick up our meals and not go inside, and it was a
yes.
microwavable pasta, which... It was still delicious, but it felt a little disappointing for the price.
Okay. All right. Okay. So after years of like staring at these Olive Garden gift cards that have been on my desk for way too long, I finally used them last Friday. I, kind of like you, actually, it's been a lot longer. I hadn't been to an Olive Garden since my senior year in high school. And I think we went for our homecoming. So like super fancy Olive Garden, let's go. But it was our daughter's birthday party last Friday. And we had 21 teenage girls in the house, and we needed like those big vats of food, right? The big salads, like copious amounts of breadsticks. So I'm like, all right, where's the closest Olive Garden? Let's go. It's time to use these gift cards. Closest one to our house was in Greenfield, right there on 76th Street, if you know that location. A few of our old gift cards, they didn't have PIN numbers, so I couldn't order online. So I had to drive to the location, place the order. The staff was like super friendly, really nice. It was efficient. It was actually packed. I went last Friday at about 4 p.m. The place was packed. I left with like two huge salads, piles of breadsticks. And get this, you also get a free drink if you order in-house and you sit at the bar. So I just got a lemonade. But, you know, that was pretty nice. I swear. Now, it's really interesting. It's kind of like when you buy the red car, all you see is red cars. Like, all I'm seeing is, like, Olive Garden ads now and imprints all over. Even I was watching one of my favorite shows, which is Shrinking on Apple TV. They had this whole Olive Garden product placement within the episode where one of the characters gets a job at Olive Garden and then they talk about how great the breadsticks are. So, hey, kudos to Olive Garden for, you know, a little bit of a proof point. Sometimes we say, ah, these big chains, they don't build community, they don't do creative things. But, you know, sometimes the big national brands can still do community and customer service, right? And I'm here to say, all these years later, that you know, Olive Garden still does pretty solid with those breadsticks. All right, now we'll talk about EVs. Maybe you're a bit EV curious, if you will, but kind of still sticker shocked because I don't know, the new EVs are still super expensive. But your moment in the sun may be coming because there's a leasing boom that happened with electric vehicles years ago. Leases were the easiest way to tap all of those federal EV incentives. But now, a lot of these cars are coming off lease and also colliding with high gas prices and a pretty tight market for gas cars. So what's that creating? I'm going to tell you. You have about 300,000 EV leases that are set to expire at the end of the year, which is going to mean this whole like wave of electric used vehicles across the country. I'm a pre-owned EV owner myself, and when I went to buy my car, I actually went to a dealer in California and got a great deal about 2 years ago. I think that shift now is going to play out in real time with some really good prices. This is my prediction. Keep an eye out for EV sales that are already pretty strong, but that are going to get even more less expensive. Same cars at what, like $20,000, $30,000 for a five-year-old gas car? Right now, you can probably buy a lower mile EV, maybe an old Tesla Model 3 or a VW ID4. You get a whole lot more tech. You get fuel prices in these used EVs. Cities like Milwaukee, it's not just about cars, right? It's about accessibility to an EV market that can mean cleaner air, lower household transportation costs, and I think kind of this stronger signal that we're leaning into a future and not clinging to a past that's just about gas. And now, come on. It's your time. Look at the market. Look at some of the online sites. And maybe if you're going to dive in and buy a used car, it's time to consider a used EV. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I want to go back to AI for just a minute. We talked earlier in the show during the Two Up segment about ChatGPT adding advertising to its platform, and that's coming. Don't be scared, though. It's going to be targeted. It's going to be effective, and it's going to be, I think, kind of exciting. There's some interesting possibilities that can come through AI advertising. But I want to remind you, no matter what AI platform you use, that you got to expand your mind with AI. You don't want to lose your mind with AI. I've been thinking about this a whole lot. I get a newsletter from this AI national consulting company called Section. The CEO of Section used to say this to his team: use AI to get to version one. But what he said in the latest newsletter is that he's totally flipped that script and changed his guidance. Now, he advises when you use an AI platform that you got to struggle for a few minutes on your own first, even if it's just two or three bullet points. And I really like that, because basically what he's saying is we all dive into this new world of AI that you got to start with what God gave you, right? You got to start with your own skills. You got to start with your own talents, your insights, and your aptitudes. You got to put that brain in the game, right? You got to get to A to S on your own. That is up to us before you go to the inputs. And then you let AI, you let that sprint of AI take you from S to Z and really sharpen whatever structure you have, pressure test that logic, ask some really good questions and expand your options, and then get the job done. It's not just about getting to that first version of whatever you're working on. It's about fine-tuning the version that's already in your head. All right? It's the weekend. You're probably not working too hard. You're watching, listening to some Brewers baseball. But if you're using your AI platform, use your mind first and then let the platform take over.